Hello, everybody. Welcome. We're going to go ahead and begin. It is 4:01. This is a regular board meeting of the Board of Directors, Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District, March 13th, 2024. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. Please stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Next, we'll continue to the roll call of the Board of Directors. Vanessa?
Director Trevino?
Present.
Director Chavez?
Present.
Director Garcia?
Present.
Vice President Fellow?
Present.
President Santana?
Present. We have all five board members present at today's meeting. Next, we'll do the adoption of the agenda.
Motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? That passes on a 5-0. All right, we're moving on to public comments.
Good afternoon, Madam President. We have not received any written comments prior to this meeting. However, if anyone wishes to speak now, they may do so at the podium.
Okay. All right, seeing none, we will move on to item 5, committee reports. We have two committee reports in our packet, the Admin and Finance Committee and Water Resources Facility Management Committee. I believe we did not have a Gov Affairs committee this month. Those are in the packet if anyone wishes to say anything about those. Next, we have the consent calendar.
Consent calendar.
Motion.
Second.
And the second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Consent calendar passes. And now we are moving on to action discussion items. Item 7A, review of MWD representative appointment policy. Tom.
Yes, this was put on the agenda at the request of Director Trevino. So staff went back with legal counsel. We reviewed the policy. We've included in the memo to you the excerpts, the relevant excerpts of the policy on that. And so before we get into that, the board appoints various representatives to organizations, whether it's the Water Association, Water Master, Water Quality Authority, and the Metropolitan Water District Board of Directors. And in regards to the MWD position, that position is appointed and serves at the pleasure of the board, which means the board can appoint or reappoint at any time, with one exception that we'll get into later on, and that's under a provision of the MWD Act. Historically, the board has done a lot of different ways of appointing directors. They've appointed them to a specified term. It could be 2 years, 4 years, or an unspecified term. In addition, under the policy, and it's policy number 2.6.3F, The representative to MWD can be an MWD board member, but the board can decide to appoint someone who's not an MWD or an upper district board member to the MWD board, which they have done in the past with, I believe it was Steve Millard, for example. However, if the board does, per the policy, anyone who is not on this board who you want to consider appointing has to be a resident of the district. And so that's generally the way the board has handled this in the past. There is the provision of the MWD Act, which is a specified term by resolution. And this was done when Mike Toohey was appointed to the MET board. And it is a four-year term. It's done by resolution of the Upper District Board.
Ordinance.
Thank you. Okay. Ordinance. I should let the attorney speak to this. And it is irrevocable by this board without cause. And so the case of Mike Toohey, he was no longer a board member after he didn't win a re-election, and the board decided to make a change at that time. So that's in general the summary of the policy. And Steve, I don't know if you want to add anything to that.
No, I just
I think you can willow it down to the following, that you can be appointed for an indefinite term, meaning you serve at the pleasure of three votes, essentially. It's at the pleasure of the board. Or you can have the fixed four-year term. The Met Code allows for a fixed four-year term by ordinance, and that person can only be removed for cause. So it's pretty straightforward. Then, of course, the question becomes how do you determine cause, and that's really on an ad hoc basis, given the facts that were before the board at the time.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Thank you. Do we have any questions, comments? No? Okay. Thank you for that summary. All right. We have a relatively short action discussion item agenda tonight, so we'll go ahead and move on to information items, press releases, and news articles. We do have quite a few in the packet, some good ones in there. Take a look if you, when you have a time. And next, we'll move on to attorney's reports.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We worked on a few agreements since the last meeting. Finalized the, I think it's the Aqua Education Agreement with Valley County. Worked with staff on the consulting agreement for metropolitan issues, and consulted with counsel for one of the other agencies. It's a three-party agreement with two other agencies. We worked together on that agreement. Also work with staff on some potential policy manual amendments that may be coming to the board in the future, as well as working with staff on a Public Records Act request that seeking GIS information about the district's facilities, and we're looking into whether or not those are documents that we can share through the Public Records Act, because they could provide some security or sensitive related information. So the nature of that request is it's coming from an engineering firm in, I think, Idaho or Utah, but it just kind of rang a bell for us. We got to take a look at it closely and make sure that it's not revealing anything that could impact our facilities. Also, unrelated to the district matters, but a metropolitan matter that may be of interest to the board. As you may recall, for many years now, San Diego County Water Authority and Metropolitan have been involved in litigation over the rate structure at Metropolitan, and there's been literally 10 years of litigation in that regard. And there was a recent trial that concluded last summer, they still haven't reached a judgment, but there was a hearing this afternoon that I attended telephonically on the final terms of that judgment. The case took place in San Francisco. Met was represented by its special counsel and Met's internal lawyers. San Diego is also represented by special counsel. And it's been a very extended piece of litigation just to figure out what the judgment was going to say, because the judgment could determine who is the prevailing party, which means that which implicates attorney's fees, which in these cases are very significant, in the millions of dollars. So we had the hearing today, and the court took it under submission. We expect we're going to have a ruling sometime in the next few weeks. And thereafter, there will be motions, even further motions, on who is the prevailing party, entitling that party to attorney's fees. And usually with litigation, someone wins and someone loses, but the nature of this case is so complicated in that Metropolitan attacked the Metropolitan rate structure, and they kind of won on some arguments and lost on others. So you're trying to figure out who really is the prevailing party, and that's what the court is wrestling with, that what was briefed and that what was argued today to some extent. But I think within the next month we'll have a sense of who the prevailing party is. In the past, in prior case parts of this litigation, attorney's fees, you know, were, I think, at the level of $14 million. So it's significant fees and significant impact. In this case, in this element of the case itself, San Diego was seeking, I think, $335 million, claiming that they're entitled to what are known as offsetting benefits for water transfers through the Met system. And Metropolitan prevailed on that. So it's a very interesting case, and hopefully we'll get some word on prevailing party soon.
Thank you. Do we have any questions, comments? What does GIS stand for?
The teacher.
I'll leave it to the nerds in the room. For
that. Yeah. Let's turn to our staff scientist.
What is it?
It's graphic information systems.
It's basically
electronic drawing, basically.
Gotcha. Okay.
But in my experience, it shows locations of pipeline, depths of pipelines, things like that. So it's sensitive stuff.
Yeah. And so all the water agencies are concerned about whether it's cybersecurity. So sometimes there's been public information requests for what software do you use for your supervisory computer control system. And then if they know what software you use, then the hackers have an advantage or leg up on hacking into your system. If they know where your facilities specifically are and details about them, you know, there's a security risk of that. And so
the downside of going electronic.
Yeah.
One of them. Yep. Okay. All right. Thank you. Next, we'll move on to engineer's report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a few things, just some updates. First of all, the key well, it's up to 223.2 as of March 8th, 223.2. It came up another 0.6 of a foot in 1 week. About half, but the east sides of the Santa Fe spreading grounds are being wetted, right? Are full. They're still doing maintenance on the other side. So when we get water on the other side, maybe it'll pick up and go faster. We'll have to wait and see. We don't have a conclusion yet about how effective our drying out and maintenance was of the spreading grounds. But we did get a pretty quick communication with the key well once we put water in, and it did react pretty quick. And so we'll just see if it keeps up. Since it started going up, it's gone up about 1.2 feet, which is good. I mean, we're going the right direction this time of year, and we've got plenty of water up in the canyon to spread. So that's a good thing. Some current information. As you know, we had a pretty wet February, and I've reported this before, but I'm just going to repeat part of it and update. But at Puddingstone Dam in February, there was 12.6 inches just in the month. Average for the year at Puddingstone Dam is about 17 to 18. So 12 and 12.6 in 1 month is pretty amazing. In March so far through the 11th, there's another one inch at Puddingstone Dam. So just in a month and a half, we're at 13.5 inches, which is getting close to the annual average, which is pretty good. San Gabriel Dam, similar. Through February, it was 17.16 inches. And in March through the 11th, had another 3 inches up in the canyon. So it's been good so far. It doesn't look like we've got much coming, but it's been good so far. Reservoir storage is pretty good too. In February, the reservoir storage, this is canyon storage, we gained 34,000 acre feet of storage in our canyon storage, and approximately 11,000 acre feet in March, again, through the 11th. So inflow right now to San Gabriel Dam, which is the watershed up above, is the inflow to the dam systems, our dam system up there, is over 800 CFS. So that's equivalent of about 1,600 acre feet a day we're adding to storage. And there are releases going on, about 300 CFS, some of it being diverted up there, but most of it going into the spreading grounds. But certainly, even at 300 CFS, that's less than the inflow. So we're gaining storage still, and they're talking about kicking it up to about 900 CFS towards the end of the month, end of March.
Not sure when.
Yeah, end of March, I think they're going to kick it up to 900 CFS and get all they can in Santa Fe because it'll be fully open, and whatever they can't get in will go to Central Basin. They're thinking we'll get 4 to 450, and Central Basin get about the same, about 4 to 450 for about 3 weeks. So that's what's going on with the water. No imported water. Rainfall for the season so far at Puddingstone Dam through the 11th, we're about 130% of long-term average through that period of time. At San Gabriel Dam, again, through March 11th, we're about, again, 130% of long-term average, so we're matching it up. For Title 22, under the Water Master Administrative Assessment, testing wells in the basin to meet DDW requirements, Health Department. In February, 65 wells were sampled. January, 52 wells were sampled, and we still have not received any new notices of any new wells shut down due to water quality. Just prior to this, Water Master Basin Management Committee, we did do a short briefing on new directives that the producers in the basin have received on PFAS testing. It's kind of an interesting one. That's why I was going to mention it just briefly. It's a directive from the state. We already have a directive for the main basin wells, which Water Master is taking care of under their assessments and doing all that sampling. That's ongoing. But this new directive identified, I believe, 6 water systems and probably maybe 10 wells, water systems. But it's a new directive statewide. I think Brianna, the water quality girl that I had at the meeting, said there were 40, because it's statewide, 49 pages, top to bottom, of wells in the state of California, because it's statewide. And these are all wells being owned by disadvantaged communities, disadvantaged watershed, disadvantaged communities. And the state has sent out a directive that these wells that are on the list, and some of them are in the main basin, some of them are already under our directive, so it's a double directive, but we'll take care of that. But these wells are being under a directive by the state to sample for PFAS, and they've never done this before. There was no notice. There was no information ahead of time. There was no preemptive, this is what we're going to do. They just did it. And what they did is required PFAS testing of these systems and required them to have the state perform the sampling and the state lab to do the testing. Unless you make application to do it yourself, the state's going to do it. And there's a lot of questions as to why they did that, whether they don't trust these disadvantaged systems to get it done or to do it right or to provide accurate information, not sure. But in order to do your own sampling, you have to actually have to make an application to the state so that you can sample and test and take it to your own lab. They're doing it for you. And it's a lot of wells in the basin. So it's a huge effort. And they're supposed to notify the state how they're going to get their testing done by the end of this month. So very short timeline, too. So it's interesting. But it's a big push on PFAS sampling for these smaller systems. Again, there's only 6 more wells, I think, on our basin. We're already doing these. But statewide, like I said, 49 pages, probably 50 to 75 on a page statewide. That's a lot of wells. Yeah. So anyway, that's all I have.
Madam Chair, Steve, how much more water could we put in the basin right now? Like, you talked about reserve storage.
Well, since the judgment, we have been as high as 285 feet, okay? And we're at 225 right now, so that's, 60 feet? And every foot's about 8,000 acre feet, so that's close to 500,000 acre feet. We got lots of room.
Yeah, cause I mentioned it, Tom, because Adele has mentioned again lately about he'd like to store water in the basin.
Yes.
And then now they'll pay us.
Yes.
Afterwards. But Water Master has to have approval or?
No, we have just the Water Master at the last time we went through the judgment amendments, which was 2016, Kelly, was it judgment amendments? 2012. Okay, a new section was added prior to those judgment amendments. In order to store water in this basin, you had to have Water Master approval, and you could not export from the basin. With those judgment amendments, a new section was added. It's called storage and export agreements. These are agreements that are set up directly for somebody like Metropolitan who wants to store water in the basin and then have the facilities, use other people's, figure out a way to get the water back out of the basin, and they can export it. They don't have to leave it in the basin. Prior to those amendments, you had to leave it in the basin for basin use. But these storage and export agreements are available. And frankly, when Water Master put those amendments together, I know I did, and I think other people at Water Master do, I expected Metropolitan to be knocking on the door very fast and saying, we want to have a storage and export agreement. And we have it. So
yeah,
let Adele know that everything's there to do it. Everything's ready.
You've talked to them about it, haven't you?
Yeah, so there's it's being discussed that it's been, the Met Board has been briefed. It's the Surplus Water Management Strategy program. Brand new. It has not been approved by the MWD Board. Unlike a conjunctive use program where there's the agreements and everything, under this program, they're still evaluating it. Is if MWD has water like last year, that if they can't move it, they lose it. In other words, it's water they can't store elsewhere, then they would make it available with some incentives. It's not a discount. Some incentives to put it in the ground, and then depending on the circumstances where they call on that water, there's incentives to produce the water in a future year. So it's still being discussed. It's not a done deal yet at Met, But that's the program. So when you ask what's holding this up, so we currently have a cyclic storage agreement with Water Master and MWD. Mm-hmm. So there's agreement to store the water, and then if water is in the ground, then we have a purchase agreement to buy the water, which used to be a 5-year purchase term, and now it's a 10-year purchase term. But there's no financial incentives from MET under that agreement. It's just they move water when they have it available, and we have it for a dry year. And what's the only thing holding us up from storing more is capacity of the replenishment of the spreading grounds. We tried to get a lot more in last year, and we did our best. But I think there's opportunities with this. If the swim program gets approved, clearly that'll be a benefit. Yeah. And if there's a financial incentive, then maybe there's a way where we can actually put some money in and improve some facilities. Mm-hmm. Under a conjunctive use program, MET will fund capital facilities. But they want to be able to get the water out. So for us, the way they get out the water out of the ground is the producers produce the water, and we turn off our MET connection in a dry year. So those are the different parameters where we can use storage, MET water in storage, to help MET in a dry year. But we have to be able to make sure that we can go that year without taking any imported water from USG3. Sounds like this is a topic for a future Water Resources Facility Management Committee meeting. Talk about storage and the different MET storage programs and the swim. I haven't briefed the board on the swim program because it's still in development, but that sounds like a good topic for the future.
Okay, good. So it's not problematic for Water Master?
No, it isn't. And Tom hit it right on the head. Last year we had a lot of water. We pushed our spreading facilities as far as we could push them. We need more facilities, or better and more facilities, and we could take in more water.
Yeah. And so that ties in nicely with the presentation I made last Water Resources Facility Management Committee about the improvements to the USG3 connection and what we're looking at in terms of recharge capacity. We need to be able to get more water in the ground a lot faster when these wet years occur.
We're probably going to have more wet years, it appears, or more wet times than... I agree that we need to be able to put water in the ground. Yeah.
All right, thank you. Any other questions or comments? Thank you, Steve. Next, we have General Manager's Report.
Just want to highlight one thing on the General Manager's Report. Last weekend on Saturday, there was a watershed restoration event. I understand it was very successful. Director Chavez was there. Patty gave me a report on it. But the Forest Service is very interested. They have some saplings that they need to put in pots. Their nursery kind of got decimated.
Milk cartons.
Pardon?
Milk cartons.
Milk cartons. And then they have some trees that they want to take up in the forest. So they asked Patty if Upper District could help them organize a big event with a lot of volunteers. So Patty will be reaching out to the producers and others. I believe they talked about near the end of April. And staff, do you have any other details on that?
I think she's trying to do it at the April 6th watershed.
Yeah, and it's around Earth Day, tied in with Earth Day. So it was very successful, and the Forest Service is very interested in more assistance up there. So that was a very good event. On the imported water supply, there was a big storm that hit Northern California. The ski resorts got slammed a little over a week ago. At the time, that brought the precipitation in the northern Sierras a little above 100% of average for this time of year, but it went dry. And so that average dropped just below 100%. But it's still a good amount of water. I'm saying we're in a normal year in Northern California. Oroville is in flood control mode, so they're moving water to make sure they have space for the snow melt. That's good. I was concerned last fall when San Luis Reservoir was going down when it normally shouldn't go down, including in January and February. Well, San Luis storage has started to come up very rapidly. They've been able to turn on the pumps. I don't know if they're at full capacity, but enough where San Luis will start to fill. And that's critical because the Department of Water Resources use the storage in their main reservoirs, and their two biggest ones are San Luis and Oroville. When they make decisions on setting the safe yield. They look at the hydrology, they look at the rainfall and the snowpack, but they also look at how much water is in their major reservoirs. So as San Luis rises, that gives them a little more confidence with the snowpack they have that they should be able to increase the state project allocation. Talking with MWD staff who deal with the DWR and our sister agency, the San Gabriel Water District, they feel that it's pretty likely the state project, this next allocation increase will probably be over 20%, might be up to 25%. That should be near the end of this month in a week or two. But they think that the final allocation should approach 40%, maybe higher. But, you know, right now it's dry. It's dry in Northern California. It's dry here. So it remains to be seen. So, but bottom line, I think the imported water supply picture is looking pretty good. Not quite as above average as we are here in the San Gabriel Valley, but I think we're going to have an allocation high enough that MWD will start delivery of cyclic storage water this year, sometime this spring. And we, as I mentioned at the Water Resources Facility Management Committee, we'll be working with Water Master and the county. As soon as they're done delivering this local water from the Canyon Reservoirs, we want to have our plan ready to go to open USG3 and run as much water into the ground and store in the basin as we can. And that's everything I have under my report.
All right. Thanks, Tom. Any questions, comments?
Can I ask you a very stupid question?
No, you never have never had one.
I'm always, Lake Mead always interests me. It's not really the heart of this whole system. Even with all this rain, it just seems to never get filled. You know, it never increases as much as the rest of them.
Well, the thing to keep in mind, Lake Mead and Lake Powell took decades to fill after they were built, because that's how big those reservoirs are. They're tens of millions of acre feet. So the volume is so vast, it's going to take back-to-back-to-back wet years. In fact, Lake Powell didn't fill until 1983. It was built in the 60s, and it didn't fill until the 1983 floods when their spillway almost failed. And so it's a huge watershed, but those reservoirs are so the volume in those reservoirs is so big. It's like, yeah, you can put 10 gallons. It's like driving my Lincoln Navigator SUV. 10 gallons in the tank is a lot of gas, but it doesn't even half fill my tank. So that's why it's taken so long.
Since you asked about Lake Mead, how does evaporation rate affect that too? Because, I mean, in the middle of the desert, I don't imagine it.
It's significant. In fact, when Bill Hazenkamp presented, he mentioned, I can't remember the number he mentioned, but the evaporation on those two reservoirs is a lot of acre feet of water. In the negotiations with the upper basin states, evaporation in the lower basin is an issue. It's a sticking point, because the lower basin states want the whole river system, the upper and lower basin, to share in the evaporation losses. But the upper basin state says, well, those are your reservoirs for your use. You should take the full brunt of the evaporation losses on the river.
So if I may, that leads to another question, though. So when we were at Three Valleys, like 2 weeks ago, they had like a tarp over the water. Now, is that for evaporation? Or I know they had animals trying to drink the water there. But
it's to protect the water quality. Yeah. In other words, that's treated clean water. Mm-hmm. And they don't, whether it's a dust storm or birds or coyotes contaminating their treated water. That's the primary purpose of the covers. Now, a few years ago, LADWP put these round black balls.
Oh, yes.
They just dump truck in the river.
Yeah.
And a couple of reasons they did that. One is evaporation. Yeah. But I don't know why they were black. Maybe.
Oh, I can tell you. I'm sorry.
Now we're reversing roles.
Because I got really nerdy and into this. I'm sure you're not surprised to hear that. But essentially, because I guess in some reservoir there was the light was like a photochemical reaction, and so that's why they're black to stop the light from getting in there, because it was causing. Yeah, some photochemical reaction that was changing the water quality.
It was, and I can't remember it's related to trihalomethanes. Maybe you guys know what it was. Bromate. Bromide forms with ultraviolet light, breaks down.
Mm-hmm. It's similar, like football players or athletes put a black thing there, so the sun will hit that instead of their eyes.
So it doesn't reflect in their eyes. So.
detoured this then. Yeah. Raise. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Tom. Next, we have Metropolitan Report. Director.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Met was in session on Monday and Tuesday, and we've been meeting almost weekly in budget meetings and camp meetings to discuss the budget. And we had a public hearing, first of all, regarding proposed water changes and rates for calendar year 2025-26 to meet the fiscal year 2024-25 and 2025-26. The budget and camp workshops continue with four more coming in the next few weeks. And yesterday, directors spoke on various measures to obtain funds in years in which water sales are down and money for infrastructure and a ton of projects needing money. And it was interesting. We had a really good input from board members. And for me, what was interesting was Director Armstrong made a number of outstanding recommendations focused on the proposals dealing with raising fixed revenue, which should be the new MWD model. And then Director Seckel began talking about Alternative 2, which we support here, which deals with increasing the ad valorem tax for at least 2 years. And then Director McMillan and I spoke about the need to increase the ad valorem tax and a 6-8% property tax. Met needs to really get into fixed charges or, fixed revenue, I should say, because it is hurting. And then San Diego Director Miller also suggested that we're going to have to defer major projects. And I think the Northern Caucus believes that's also going to have to happen to reduce costs. And we support both of those notions. However, the project we want to see proceed, and I think most of Met does, is the Pure Water Project, which is still getting costly. And now I think it's 2035, which I hope it's not going to be that long. So more discussions and workshops will be taking place. I do want to discuss with you today, because I think you'll find it interesting. I'm going to give this to Patty. We had in the Communications and Legislation Committee, they did a major survey. I think it was 1,000 people were interviewed, and it dealt with regional survey on water conservation. And I'm going to just give you some ideas because it's very interesting. The first finding was a majority adopted water-saving behaviors during the most recent serious drought in Southern California. For instance, 67% of the people in Southern California now turn off the water when they brush their teeth. They turn off the water when washing dishes, but 59% do, and 58% only run full loads in their dishwasher. Another is that 90% agree that it's important to conserve water every day, whether Southern California is in drought or not, which is good. 75% agree that climate change will significantly impact Southern California's water supply. That was 75% of those interviewed. 83% said that Southern California will experience more droughts in the future. 77% agree that Southern California will experience more weather whiplash in the future. 77% agree with that. 89% agree that they are willing to do their part to conserve water regardless of weather conditions. Keep that in mind. 75% agree that they are willing to do more than they currently are to conserve water, which is good. 85% agree that they know what steps they can take to conserve more water. 54% agree that other Southern California residents are doing their fair share to conserve water. 43% agree Southern California businesses are doing their fair share to save water. 49% agree that agriculture in Southern California is doing its fair share to conserve water. 41% agree Southern California water managers are doing enough to properly manage and store available water resources. Tom, you're doing
a good
job. I know. 61% disagree that California experienced a lot of rain and snow, that Southern California experienced a lot of rain and snow, so we do not need to conserve water. That's the interesting thing. 79% agree that Southern California water managers need to make changes in infrastructure and delivery systems of water supply. 50% agree that state and local governments and local water agencies are asking too much water conservation of residents. That's interesting.
Yeah. What was the percentage on that?
50%.
Half.
So we have to think of messaging for the future. 66% agree that Southern California should be moving faster to replace lawns with California-friendly landscapes. That did not give any smiles to Adele and to MWD. 60% say they conserve water because it's the right thing to do. 36% say they trust their local water agencies. It's like, so local water agencies, 36% of the public trust you and us. Water scientists, 35% trust water scientists. Conservation experts, 32%. Then we come all the Metropolitan Water District, 28%. And then you come down here to elected officials, local elected officials, 13%. So that was interesting. It's an interesting study. I'm going to give this to Patty to...
We'll distribute it.
Distribute that. And I'd like another copy. But it's very interesting. So we're just continuing to see how we can get Met to survive with the deficit. And we need money for infrastructure. We need money for projects or... And then another interesting thing I heard yesterday, where I heard it, one of the committee, is that this whole PFAS thing is getting people nervous that water should in this store should not be sold in plastic. And I don't know if that's going to become some kind of legislative battle, but it's interesting that it should be sold in glass. So that's my report. Thank you.
I'm wondering if it's a PFAS or if it's a microplastic question on that.
Both, probably.
President Santana, if I could just make a couple of comments.
Sure.
Director Fellow mentioned, the concern kind of facetiously, the replacing grass or replacing grass because, as I reported to the Finance Committee in the Met budget report, Met is seeing their water sales in the current fiscal year are projected to be at a 50-year low. And imagine how much the region has grown in 50 years. At Watermaster, last year's groundwater production was at a record low?
Record low
under the judgment, since the judgment. So demand here has been very, very low. We had two wet years, and our conservation message is obviously resonating because people aren't watering when it's raining as much. In fact, significantly less, it appears, is going on. So it's, but in the context of the Met budget, there are some comments that from Met board members and other member agency managers that, well, if Met's not selling that much water, if their demands are so low, why do we need to build a major water supply project? So there's pressure coming back that we're going to have to deal with, and it's pure water that they're talking about. When they're facing these rate increases, why do we need to build pure water? So we have our work cut out for us to continue to keep that project moving along. So I just wanted the board and the producers here to be aware of that.
It's so interesting how the conversation has changed so much in a couple of years. Any questions, comments? Okay. Thank you. Water Quality Authority report. Chavez?
Yes, Madam President. So I'm just reflecting on the that survey there. So trusting your elected officials at 13%, it was still higher than used car salesmen. So
and the United States Congress.
Most definitely. So there was just two things that occurred at the WQA. So we did the financial audits. We came out really, really good and positive. Those audits, you never want it to be too exciting. You just want to be routine and everything dealt with there. And just like our district here, the WQA renewed its membership with the San Gabriel Valley Economics Partnership as well. But I wanted to read you a memo of good news that has happened. So I'm pleased to report that the Energy and the Water Appropriations Bill contained in the WQA's $5.5 million San Gabriel Basin Restoration Fund was requested by us and passed by the House and the Senate last week and signed by the President on Friday. We are fortunate to have it made through the lengthy
contentious appropriations process with funding, and appreciate having the support of Representative Napolitano, Judy Chu, and Senator Padilla, and also the late Senator Feinstein. Several other appropriation bills are still under consideration by Congress and must be passed by March 22nd to avoid a partial government shutdown. It is too early to determine when we could expect to receive the funds and should be getting an update from the USBR in the next couple of weeks. In the meanwhile, we'll be working and looking forward to the 2025 budget. So the restoration funds, so the WQA will receive these funds and hold it and have applicants apply for those funds. So the folks that the producers that incur cost for cleaning up the water could get reimbursed through these funds. So it's definitely helpful, needed here, and we want to thank those people in Washington for delivering for the San Gabriel Valley. And that's it.
Thank you. Do we have any questions or comments on that? Good news. Thank you very much. Next, we have AB 1234. I'm sorry. We have Water Master Report. Director Fellow Deeser,
the only update is there was a management meeting today, and Steve gave a report on the safe yield and PFAS and anything else?
I don't think so. It was just a briefing on items and
Things that we consider in preparing the preliminary draft of the determination of operating safe yield, which will be submitted to Water Master at the April meeting.
Awesome. All right. Thank you. And then we just had, I believe, that was SGVP, the Protective Association. Never mind. I was going to add something, but that's the wrong committee. Next, moving on, we have AB 1234 Compliance Report. Anybody has anything to add that's in the packet? And now we have director's comments. Director Trevino.
No, I don't have any comment.
No comments. Director Chavez?
Only to say, as the general manager reported, that we had the we all went up to Azusa Canyon through the Education Center and planted, what is it, sucklings, they're called?
Saplings.
Yeah. Saplings in there. So I took my granddaughter. And she did, so you know, kids, they want everything electronic, video games. And I said, why are we going up in the mountains? And she didn't want to leave after that. And our staff was there helping the group of folks that were there. I have to give a little shout out to Kat there for helping my granddaughter get started in planning those. So it was fun. You know, like I said, kids never get to plain dirt anymore.
Thank you. Director Garcia.
No, I just love seeing all those pictures. So I saw, I was like, oh, hi, Ed, look at how fun. So it looks like you look like you had a lot of fun at the picture. Yeah, so that's, nice. That's good to hear.
Thank you. Director Fellow.
Yeah, Tom, correct me if I'm wrong on this. The United States Congress, interestingly, is getting very serious about Sites Reservoir. And all of the, is it all the reservoir funds that Congress passed are dealing with sites this year?
You caught me on that one. I don't know.
Yeah, I think the United States Congress has decided to put everything in the sites bucket. And at Aqua, I was with Bob Kuhn. We had lunch with the sites people, the people who are building the reservoir, and they said it's going. And yesterday at Met, some of the people were saying, well, does Met have to approve it? They don't care if Met comes in or not, it's going to go. And so it's very interesting. And also, we talked about Katrina. I could publicly say, I'm in postdoctoral studies, and she's helped me more. You know, she's young, and she knows how to use computers, and she has saved me this year. So thank you. I'm almost finished, so thank you.
All right, thank you. I was going to mention, actually, I think it's very interesting how Director Fellow mentioned the concern about water in plastic bottles. I was going to mention there was a study that came out, perhaps you've all heard of it, where they did finally find a link with microplastics and health concerns, and that has to do with people with more microplastics in their certain, I believe it's arteries, have a 4.5 increased risk of stroke and heart attack. And this is a really important study because it shows a clear link between health and microplastics within the body. So I think we're going to be hearing more about this as we continue. It's certainly something that just kind of blossomed and is getting more intense. So anyway, something to be aware of. And okay, so we'll go ahead and move on to future agenda items. Are there any? Okay, closed session. No closed session. All right, we will adjourn. Thank you very much.
And directors, the March 27th meeting is canceled. The next board meeting will be April 10th.